Throw the best birthday party ever that your child will always talk about. Big Air Trampoline Park inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall can do just that. Award-winning birthday party packages start at just $300, and all birthday parties include pizza, drinks, a party room with a party host, grip socks, printed invitations, and all 40 attractions at Big Air Trampoline Park. It's a birthday party you and your kids will never forget. Book your party today. Big Air Columbus, where the fun never ends. Visit bigairusa.com/Columbus for details.
Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Huang.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle. Elliot Danker, Manisha Tank and Ryan Huang with you. It's time for The Bigger Picture. And overnight, we saw a bit of a bounce back on Wall Street, didn't we?
Yes, and we did see markets bouncing back, the Dow hitting its second highest close ever, same for the S&P 500, and we saw the Dow and the S&P 500 in the green by 0.9%, the Nasdaq up 1.2%. And talking about green, it is Earth Day today, and we are looking out for the virtual summit being hosted by President Joe Biden, and together 40 leaders will be deciding what to do next towards their goal to curb carbon emissions. To get a bigger picture, I've got Shane Oliver. He is the Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Morning, Shane. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good as well, Shane. Are you doing anything special to mark Earth Day?
Turning the lights out. Earth Day is always one of those occasions which reminds us to look after the Earth and do things we can to minimise the damage we cause to it. So turning the lights out is one way of doing that.
Yep, every day should be Earth Day, so let's turn the lights off. Well, let's talk about the Earth Day Summit.
Well, not Joe the whole Biden. Day, but a bit earlier than normal.
Well, Joe Biden's having the virtual summit, and we are expecting him to pledge to cut U.S. greenhouse emissions at least by half by 2030. Shane, will that move markets in any meaningful way, especially if you think about the sectors that might be involved?
Probably not. It's hard to know. This debate about the climate's been going on for a long time. We're now seeing more action by the US, and if the US acts more forcefully, then of course other countries may do so, and the US may put some pressure on other countries to do that, including via financial and trade means. So you could argue this time around it may have more impact than in the past. Counter to that, of course, is that we've seen a lot of talk over the last few years, not a lot of action. The other aspect is that a lot of climate action is already priced into so-called green stocks. Low energy emitting businesses, clean businesses have already seen fairly strong gains. So it's hard to see a lot more upside for them at this point in time. So I think, yes, it's worth something on the lookout for, and avoiding dirty companies that may be vulnerable, particularly if the US starts imposing trade tariffs on countries which are involved in dirty businesses. But I don't see a major impact, particularly in an aggregate level, in terms of broad country stock indexes.
Yeah, Shane, what's also interesting is this dynamic that's going to play out. Do you see this as a platform for collaboration, especially between US and China, or rivalry? Because China is still quite heavily dependent on coal, and we are expecting some pressure on developing nations to cut back on industries they've been dependent on for many years. Is this setting up for more conflict down the road?
It potentially is, and there's obviously a huge conflict here between emerging countries and developed countries, with obviously emerging countries saying, it's all right for you to tell us to cut back, but of course you've done all your economic developing, we're just trying to catch up. And that, of course, has been a sticking point in these negotiations for many years. That said, I think there is huge scope for compromise and cooperation here with developing countries effectively showing the way and then helping emerging countries catch up. And, of course, there'd be no better way to do that than for the US and China to cooperate on that front. And then I think that is one area where they could work together. And if they do that, it could go a long way to diffusing tensions between those two countries. So there are a lot of opportunities here, but I think the ball is largely in the court of developing countries to show the way and help the emerging countries for the obvious reason that the developing countries have the greater financial wherewithal to do that.
At least the conversation is underway. Returning to Shane Oliver, he's the head of investment strategy and chief economist at AMP Capital. Now, Shane, talking about what's happening in the markets this week, we still have COVID-19 infections ticking up, hotspots in India, Japan, Brazil, and even numbers are up in the US. Despite that, investors are still backing economic reopening names. Overnight, we saw the bounce back. Is this a sign of complacency or over-optimism?
Well, it may be. I guess, though, investors have sort of seen over the last 12 months periodic setbacks and then overall progress towards reopening and economic recovery. So investors right now are thinking, yeah, that's bad news. And this was certainly the case yesterday. This is bad news that coronavirus cases are on the rise and making new highs globally. But by the same token, investors are also realizing that the rollout of vaccines is continuing. Mm. We have seen a very, very rapid rollout in the US. By the second half of the year, the US will probably have more vaccines than it needs, and the focus will shift to making sure emerging countries are getting vaccinated at a faster rate. So I think that's where the markets are sort of flipping and flopping on this issue. On the one hand, focusing on the numbers as they stand today. On the other hand, thinking, well, if the US can get it under control, then these other countries will eventually get it under control as well. So that's the way I think investors are currently seeing it. Mm-hmm. It's a risk. Obviously, the longer this goes on, the greater chance we'll get of mutations which are immune to the current vaccines. So that's potentially a risk. But I think ultimately markets at the moment are giving the vaccines the benefit of the doubt and remain optimistic that those vaccines will help the world head towards herd immunity over the course of the next 12 months.
Yeah, Shane, it looks like market sentiment is still quite strong. If you look at the IPO debut for UiPath, one of the largest software IPOs in US history, quite a strong debut, up 23%. What does this tell you about the appetite for IPOs and even maybe SPACs?
It tells us the appetite for IPOs, SPACs and what have you, and you can throw in there the demand for, at various points in time, various cryptocurrencies, including one which was started off as a joke called Dogecoin. So that demand is very strong. People want to put their money somewhere and earn a decent return. That in turn obviously entails a little bit of a risk, because to the extent that sentiment is so strong, as evident in these money flows, it could tell us, notwithstanding what I just said about coronavirus, that at some point in the next few months we might see a bit of volatility and maybe a bit of a correction in share markets. I'm aware of the old saying, sell in May, go away, come back later in the year. We are coming into a seasonally weaker period for share markets. And yes, there's those issues around coronavirus, and there's also issues around geopolitical tensions between various countries, including China, Taiwan, US, Ukraine and Russia, and of course Iran. So all of these things could cause a bit of volatility in the next few months, even though I think the broader trend in markets probably remains up. But the high level, the positive level of sentiment suggests we may, investors shouldn't get complacent here, we might have a bit of volatility along the way.
Joining Shane Oliver, he is the head of investment strategy and chief economist at AMP Capital. Shane, it's been great chatting with you. We'll catch up with you next time.
That'd be great. Have a good one, Ron.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.
If your air conditioning or furnace stops working in the middle of the night, on a weekend, or over a holiday, there's no reason to wait to get it fixed. Because Atlas Butler's always open, and we never charge any overtime or after-hours fees.
The Atlas Butler family is here to keep your family safe and comfortable. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call.